So my friend texted me the other day, middle of the day. She's like, guess what? And I was like, what? And then she just sent me this picture.
Oh, what a love. I love that.
It's a little sonogram.
There's a little nugget in there.
Looks like he's like reclining in her stomach.
Just chill.
Yes.
I'm the most comfortable ever. Like, I'm living my best life right now in my mother's womb.
Hanging out.
How many weeks?
I didn't even ask because I immediately went into
Is it in the ultrasound?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It should be. Oh.
First trimester.
Oh, my God. You know how to read ultrasound? What?
I do. I'm a doctor, actually. You ain't know.
I didn't even.
They ain't tell you. It's up there. It's right up in the corner right there.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, yeah. First trimester. Oh. Yeah, it's their first baby. Oh. They're doing it. It's crazy.
So sweet.
Yeah.
I feel like I am.
Hey, Azalea. It's still Aselika, and this is The Colored Girl Beautiful, a heartfelt letter from one generation of Black women considering motherhood to another.
I feel like I have legitimately seen baby stuff everywhere. I don't know what it is. All my friends are pregnant.
All my friends are pregnant too.
All of my friends are pregnant. Also, just seeing all of the little tiny babies and their little feet and hands is like, oh my God.
Oh my God, they're so small.
They're so small.
It doesn't even make any sense.
And like, how is it even possible? They're so tiny and cute and fat all at the same time.
So there's definitely baby dust in the air, and everyone I know is having children, and it's definitely made me think a lot about what I want my future to look like. So as is custom these days, I sat down with my producer, Nicole, to debrief.
Does it make you, here we go, this is the question, does it make you want to have a baby?
It does make me want to have a
does
baby.
Does it? Really?
Yes.
Why? Well, have you always wanted to be a mother? Is it just happening now?
I have literally always wanted to be a mother. Since I was very small, I've wanted four children. That won't be happening.
Four?
Yes, but I wanted four children, two boys and two girls. I wanted boy, girl, like boy being the oldest. And because I wanted the older brother to take care of his younger siblings. I had very rigid views of what girls and boys do.
It's evolved since then, I'm sure.
It's evolved since then, but yeah, I've always wanted to be a mom, and particularly for me, because I had fibroid tumors, very large, like intense fibroid tumors, to the point where my doctors described my uterus as being the same size as a woman who was 5 months pregnant.
What?
Yeah. Ridiculous. But I mean, like, very large. So I had a surgery to have them removed last fall. And, I got a lot of warnings about, if you want to have kids, it is very, there's a really good chance that your fibroid tumors, because they were so extensive, that they will return.
Wow.
And so, like, the sooner the better.
So there's, like, it is an actual biological clock.
Yeah.
But yours feels like it's ticking even faster after this diagnosis.
So I have not reached what they call advanced maternal age, which is 35 or over. So I'm not there yet, but I'm not too far away. And, on top of that, I know I have this, thing apparently that happens inside of my uterus, or that has happened. I mean, it's not guaranteed that my, my tumors will return, but they very well could. Mm. And, if they do, that could make pregnancy very difficult or impeded entirely, depending on where they are. So for me, it feels like it's this very pressing thing. And I kind of feel like, maybe it's something to consider sooner rather than later, when it will, for several reasons, be much harder for me.
Yeah. Okay. So you think about being a mom, you think you want to be a mom. Mm-hmm. What is the holdup?
Well, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal. It is something that I take seriously. So it takes a lot. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of emotional fortitude. I think that those are all things that matter. I feel like those are all things that I'm able to do. Like, I think I could do it, but also, like, can I do it? Now, Azalea, I know that you were very confident about wanting to have children, and you even felt like it was actually a responsibility for Black women. And you describe it as this beautiful, wonderful thing that we should all want to do. And while I do want to, I have my reservations.
What's the answer that you want to hear? What do you want someone to tell you about it?
What I want is someone to, like, spell it out for me. Like, yep, I know that it's possible, but I want step-by-step instructions with indexes and page references and please see section A1-3-4.
Totally reasonable.
Yeah, that's not a lot to ask.
Yeah, you deserve that. And you deserve it. You're a queen.
That's my primary concern.
Okay. So that's what we're looking for. Right.
So if someone could just, you know, lay it out for me step by step in all aspects of motherhood and raising a child, that would be great. And I can move forward confidently. There we go. Boom. Perfect.
I love that. That is a phenomenal way.
But that's the person that I am. I want to know all the things before I jump in. I've been looking for some additional storage for my computer for a while. For probably, I'm going to say, like, the last 3 months.
And what's your process for looking up these hard drives?
What's the best in terms of functionality? What is the most cost efficient? What feature do I need to pay attention to, or just what does it matter
for my purposes specifically?
I want to know, like,
performance speed,
the data, like, because that in right times.
Okay, now I've got, you know, 2 terabytes of storage
to transfer 2 terabytes.
All of these things at probably any given moment.
Okay, got it. Amazing. I know what all those words mean, and I'm with you. Me too. Okay. How has that been working for you in your life?
In my life in general, it serves me well.
How so?
I'm a great employee. I've been a phenomenal student. Mm-hmm. You know, and in most areas that matter, this has done nothing but make me better. Mm-hmm.
So I talked with Nicole about how, for me, researching is a big part of the way I make decisions. But making this particular decision is a little bit different.
What is your process to making the decision to birth a human?
Yeah. So here's the thing. I do not have, as you might be able to imagine, the same set of resources available. There are not a zillion YouTube reviews on how to grow a child or raise a child. I mean, there are a lot of mommy blogs. Mm-hmm. I've been on my fair share of YouTube rabbit holes when it comes to parenting stuff. But that, you know, there's no way for me to say, there's no way for me to determine how to parent a child that I give birth to. Mm. Like, personality differences alone, it's just like, I can't plan for that. I cannot solve for that ahead of time.
Right.
Which is infuriating.
Okay, so you do your research thing. Yeah. You're on YouTube. You're watching the mommy blogs. Yeah. You're not getting what you need. Mm-hmm. So what's the next? What do you do?
So the next thing is to go to someone who has experience with this. Mm-hmm. And I have lots of friends who are mothers. So I asked my friend Jasmine about what this looks like for her.
I think we have a listener.
So you hear pitter-patter, little feet.
Right.
My feet isn't little.
So you recorded this at her house, is that right?
Yes, we recorded at Jasmine's house.
Okay, like live on the scene.
Yes.
From the home of a mother.
Man on the street.
Just watch Disney Plus. Go ahead and watch something downstairs. Ma'am, downstairs. Thank you.
So it was a little bit of an adventure. Mm. Something new.
I got.
She had to try it. Just one try.
I love it, babe. So if there is one thing that I know for absolute certain about Jasmine is that she loves being a mother. So I figured Jasmine would be the perfect person to talk this through with me. And so, of course, I asked her about your writing. I want to read you a quote from the book, The Colored Girl Beautiful. It says, "To assume the position of colored motherhood is the greatest privilege and responsibility that can come to any woman in this age." Is that something you agree with?
I agree with it for me. I do not agree that it's universal.
Hmm. Okay. So you feel a sense of responsibility and privilege?
I do. However, I know that is kind of built into my chemical DNA. And I don't think that everybody's chemical DNA is built like mine. So sometimes motherhood is not a privilege, it's a burden.
Mm.
And I can see how it can be a burden if your mind frame isn't where my mind frame is, mm-hmm. to speak. I don't want to say it's right or wrong, but if your mind ain't right, privilege is the furthest thing that motherhood could feel like. I consider it a privilege to watch motherhood generationally. So my grandmother lives 2.5 miles from me. My mama live a mile from me. My daughter live in the other room. And I got a baby in my stomach. And I feel privileged to be able to, like, see versions of myself or be connected to people who've had different life experiences. Because that's her mother, and she's my mother, and I'm their mother. So and it's a privilege to be able to converse with them and talk to them and see their perspective and see how your perspective differs and see how it evolved. And, you know, that's a privilege if you're aware of it.
Now, this is definitely a perspective that I hadn't considered, and it is lovely. You know, the way that Jasmine describes it, especially living in such close proximity to her mother and her grandmother, and to have her children with her, and, you know, for them all to be daughters, that's a really beautiful thing. And I think I'm just a little bit in awe of what that must be like.
This is a question my dad always has for people. And he always asks them, what do you want to teach a kid? And he said that stumps them every time.
Yeah.
Do you know what you want to teach a kid already?
Oh my God, how much time do we have?
Even beyond the, like, cutesy things, I think, or even just like the basics human survival thing.
I mean, like, none of these things are cutesy for me. Like, I don't even know. It? I can't even think of, like, the cutesy stuff. Like, oh, we're, you know, like, it would be precious to, like, see a little baby. I mean, I can think of those things, but when I think of what I want, mm-hmm. what I want to teach a child, I feel like it's all of the big things that I've learned in life that I wish I had known much earlier than when these thoughts came to me, that I wish someone had shared with me or at the very least instilled in me from a young age.
What's like one of the top ones?
One of the top ones is to create space for people.
What does that mean?
So this is something that's really important to me in all of my relationships. So whether it's, you know, like a romantic partner or a friend or someone that I consider family, I want to allow enough space for that person to be fully who they are, even when that's different from who I am.
Mm.
That's not to say that I need to be different. That's not something that I want to do. But I want the people in my life to feel like that they are fully heard and seen. I think that's an important part of growth for people. I think that we are able to grow, we're able to be better, we're able to see past ourselves when we have space to do that.
You know, I think Jasmine has done a little bit of that with Ava.
She has. She definitely has. I do want to say it's not just important for me to create space for other people, but to create space for myself as well. And that's something I think Jasmine does so very well with her daughter. And I, you know, I know Jasmine personally, and I am around her and her daughter, and I see how they interact. And her little girl will be 8 soon, and I can just see how she places value on her own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's about LOL dolls and Play-Doh. You know, she understands that, you know, the things that are important to her, they matter.
Yeah.
Even if only to her, that matters. One of the things I admire about the way Jasmine parents her daughter is the importance that Jasmine places on her daughter's own sense of who she is.
I want her to learn how to move throughout this life as herself. And, you know, I gotta learn how to stay out the way, because as parents, you'd be like, no, do this. No, go here. No, don't go there. But I also allow her to have a voice.
Jasmine's been very diligent about what she wants to teach her daughter. And I think that's so important.
A good example is she hates when I say stubborn. Ooh, child. If I say, look, come on, let's get it going. Brush your teeth. Let's get out of here. And she's like moving like, you know, molasses. Like, come on, girl, we gotta go. And I'm like, ugh, you being stubborn. No, don't call me stubborn. And then I had to think about it like, I'm the first person she's gonna have to bounce stuff off of. If she can tell me no, she should be able to tell anybody in the street no. Because I feed and clothe her. And that's what I want. So I think those are my responsibilities to, but it's so unconscious unless you make it conscious, unless you're like, all right, so what word would you like me to use? And this is 7:40. We got to go out the damn house, but I still have to be conscious in that moment to be like, what word do you want me to use? And she'll say something like, you could just tell me we have to leave, Ava, and we have 10 minutes. And I'm like, God damn it. She right.
I love that that's something that is important to you. And, you know, knowing Ava, I know that she is exactly that person. But I think it's such an important thing that we as people don't, you know, maybe don't think enough about to give your child a choice, or, you know, some sense of agency, this feeling that she can express what she's feeling, say those things out loud, articulate them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that's so important. That's a wonderful skill that not enough of us have. Like, even as adults, I don't think we have enough of that. So it's a beautiful thing that you're teaching that to her at such a young age.
You know, you have to give them space to figure out who they are, even if it's not, you know, who you want them to be, or even if it makes you have to slow down in your day.
Yeah.
I feel like that's really powerful.
Yeah. I think what sort of the message I often got growing up is you can be what I allow you to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's not to say that my parents didn't care deeply for me. I know that they did, but I think primary goal was compliance.
Yeah. Yes, black parents.
Yes, black parents. And they did a good job with that. Because I most certainly did comply.
Mm-hmm. And put a smile on my face when I did
it. And I put a smile on my face. Girl, fix your face. Miss. Miss.
I had a really lovely conversation with Jasmine, but I still didn't quite get the answers I was looking for. And that's not because Jasmine didn't have any words of advice, it's just because there are no answers.
Did you get enough information from your conversation with Jasmine to make a decision?
No. I didn't. And I think, you know, what I learned, bottom line, is that I'm not going to get this answer. I cannot get this ahead of time. Like, it's very hard for me to wrap my head around. Like, I'm just going to have to do it and, you know, figure it out as I go.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so scary. Because that's not something I'm used to. That's not how I live my life. That's not how I make any decision. Is to just, you know, like, all right, well, we're going to jump in and see what happens over the next 18 years.
Mm-hmm. Or like the rest of your life, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely. Now, despite all of my fretting, Jasmine gave some really encouraging words that I want to make absolute certain that I share. But I am still trying to let them sink in.
If you hear this and you have doubt in yourself, but you have like the smallest bit of faith in what you can do in your motherhood, or if you should be a mother, or, you know, whatever, lean on that, because it can grow and sprout into something that you can have never have imagined if you wouldn't have, you know, let that faith blossom into a reality. Oftentimes we're so set back on what reality is putting in front of us. Oh, I don't have enough money. Oh, this person left me behind. Oh, you know, I'm gonna be by myself. But if you allow those things to be just what they are and still choose motherhood and still choose to be the best version of yourself, I believe with all of me that you could produce and will produce a very loving, kind human being that is walking this earth, and don't let nobody tell you differently.
Boom. That's it. Azalea, I'm really grateful that I have people in my life that I can ask these questions, even when those questions lead to more questions. And after having this conversation, I'm realizing that a lot of my concern is about who takes care of you when you're taking care of someone else. We'll talk more about that in the next episode. Thank you, as always, for listening, Azalea, and for giving me something to think about. The Color Girl Beautiful was created and is hosted by me, Aselika Smith. This episode was produced and edited by Nicole Hill and Aselika Smith. Music is from Blue Dot Sessions. Azalea is that one family member that has all the old school remedies for any ailment you can think of. We'll be back with new episodes on December 10th. Season 1 of The Color Girl Beautiful is almost over. There's only 2 more episodes for the regular season. But don't worry, we'll be in your feed on occasion with bonus content as often as we're able. Bonus content will include cut conversations that we weren't able to fit into the show, expert interviews, possibly a couple of field trips, and hopefully your voice. Yes, you. Send us your reactions to the show. We want to know what you think, and we're always looking for feedback. So you can email us a voice message, DM us on Twitter or IG. Just send over your thoughts, feelings, questions about any episode from the season. We can't wait to hear from you. For everything you've ever wanted to know about the podcast, visit us at coloredgirlbeautiful.com. Our website is a one-stop shop for subscribing to our newsletter, following us on social media, and staying in touch. If you like what you hear, share this episode in your podcast app with 2 friends. That's by far our favorite way for you to show your support. And if you have a moment, give the show a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and Podchaser. Links to both are in the show notes. The Colored Girl Beautiful is produced with support from PRX and the Google Podcast Creators Program. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you in 2 weeks. I feel like it's a really unique way that I don't hear a lot of parents talk about. I don't know that a lot of parents prioritize.
What?
No one
was
did
that?
Anything.
It just did
what
it.
What just
itself.
Happened? I'm so glad.
Something
I just,
released in this.
Yeah. I'm so glad that I just bought these new. They know. It sensed that something newer and better was coming. Yeah. And he's just like,
this is the
what?
Little toaster oven that could. You remember that? Remember the cartoon?
Yes. The toaster. What was his name? I don't know. But he went like all across the world.
Oh my
he took like a road trip.
With a vacuum cleaner.
With a vacuum cleaner.
Oh my God. I loved it so much. I was
I
like, we cannot just throw appliances away.
It's not fair.
It's not right.
It's not right. You can't just. It's.
What about their awful. Feelings? What about everything that they ever wanted? After I watched Toy Story, I was
the
so
lamp?
Good to my toys.
Oh my God.
Oh, that's right. The lamp.
Girl.
That's what's happening. Sorry. We didn't learn the lesson, though. You're getting thrown out.
This is it. Okay.